men or women to find a date or get into relationships?
Men. Yeah, like, they've got a lot more confidence than most women. And, like, if a male came up to me, I'd never, like, go for them. I'd let them come to me. But, yeah.
That is so funny. She thinks that men have it easier and women have it harder, and her friend's reaction is priceless. Just watch that little part again. Watch her friend's reaction.
Is it easier for men or women to find a date or get into relationships?
Men. Yeah.
That's so good. I agree with her friend. The idea that men have it easier finding dates and getting into relationships is absolutely ludicrous. The dating market is heavily skewed against men. And that's a big problem because unless men sort this area of their lives out, they have difficulty focusing on anything else. We all know the stereotypes. Men are only interested in one thing. Men just want one thing. They're constantly thinking about it. I don't even need to say the word because you know what I'm talking about. And that's lucky because that word is likely to get me demonetized. For this video, I'm going to need to say that word a lot. And so we need a replacement. So anytime that ordinarily I would say that three-letter word, you know the word I'm talking about, I'm going to say intimacy. So intimacy means, so men want intimacy. Men think about intimacy all the time. During their teenage years, young guys can barely concentrate on school because they're busy thinking about intimacy during class. Lots of young guys think that if they could just have a lot of intimacy, intimacy with lots of different girls, intimacy all day long, that's all they need to be happy. Now, occasionally you'll find a guy who actually cracks the code. Something just unlocks for him. Maybe he just becomes a master in seducing women. Maybe he becomes really famous, like a celebrity, and he suddenly has access to all of the intimacy that he's ever wanted. His 13-year-old self would be proud. But something strange happens to guys who find themselves in that position, because when they finally unlock the intimacy that they've always dreamed about attaining, they actually find it doesn't matter to them anymore. It sort of loses importance and even relevance. Beforehand, it seemed like whether or not he had access to intimacy was a matter of life and death. If he didn't have intimacy at some point this month, he was just going to explode. But now that he has it, he barely even thinks about it anymore. He realizes a core truth as it relates to intimacy, that intimacy is no big deal unless you're not having any. Lots of people ask me why I spend so much time talking about women, talking about dating and relationships, talking about intimacy. Aren't there more important things to talk about? Art, philosophy, ethics, politics, history, whatever it is? My answer is that of course there are more important things to talk about. But my concern is that unless you sort out this area first, your mind isn't going to be able to move on to the more important stuff. I want you to get your intimacy needs met, so that you can realize that it's no big deal, that intimacy isn't as important as it seemed when you're a teenage kid. What you're looking at are carvings on the outside of an ancient temple in India, and there are depictions of men and women having intimacy, intimacy in lots of different positions. These are the temples of Khajuraho and Konarak. I'm sorry about the pronunciation. Now, these temples are not well understood by people today. Many people see these temples and they think that they are obscene. Why is this holy place depicting intimacy? Why are they showing people being intimate on the outside of the temple? Isn't a temple meant to be a place of holiness, a place for people to commune with the divine? Why are they depicting such base acts? Well, the ancient Hindus who created this temple understood something extremely profound. You see, as you go deeper into the temple, into the inner layers, there are fewer and fewer depictions of people being intimate. There's still acts of intimacy, but now it's become a lot more loving. There's less of this pure animal-like intimacy, and it's more like couples holding hands, looking into each other's eyes, embracing each other, things like that. As you go deeper into the temple still, there are even fewer figures, and now they're not even embracing or touching each other. And if you keep going deeper, right to the very center of the temple, there are no figures. There's not even a statue of a god or anything like that. It's just nothing, just pure emptiness. This is the birthing ground of pure human potentiality, of infinite creativity. But you see, you had to go through all of the outer layers of the temple in order to get there. Now, consider you. You are an emotional an intellectual and, dare I say, a spiritual being. All of that is absolutely true. But primarily, first, before you're any of those things, you are a physical, biological being. You need to deal with the physical realm before you can move on and explore the deeper mental realms. Let's talk about Abraham Maslow. He was an American psychologist and he died in the 1970s. One of his major contributions in the field of psychology is something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I want you to take a look at this image. So according to Maslow, human needs are ordered as a preponderant hierarchy, and the most pressing needs need to be addressed first before you can give your attention to the next highest need. Now, while looking at this, it's important to know that Maslow never actually created an image to accompany his theories. And when looking at this pyramid, it can give the impression that this is very rigid. But actually, that's not how he intended it. His writing makes it very clear that human needs are more fluid than that. For example, you can see that self-esteem and confidence is placed above the need for intimacy and friendship. But we know for men that something like intimacy is not even available to you unless you already have self-esteem and confidence. So my point in bringing up Maslow's hierarchy of needs isn't to present this as though it's gospel and it's the only valid model for understanding reality, but simply to reinforce this idea that before you can move on to the higher endeavors of human potential, your intimacy needs must be met first. In the same way, men have a lot of difficulty really unleashing the full power of their potential and focusing on the highest expression of their own self-actualization if they get stuck at the level of biology, if they don't get their intimacy needs met first. You see these guys wasting their life and you think, you have so much to offer, you have all of these amazing gifts. Why aren't you achieving more? Why aren't you realizing your potential? But they're not thinking about the higher endeavors. They're not thinking about self-actualization. They're still thinking about how to get their intimacy needs met first. So I hope that makes it clear why I talk so much about women, why I talk about dating and relationships, why I talk about intimacy. It's not because that's all there is to life, not at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The end goal of all of this isn't for men to just focus on intimacy all of the time, to just be dating women as if that's all there is to life. That is a huge waste of their potential. The point of this is to get that area of life sorted so they can move on to other things. So don't feel bad if you spend more time thinking about your intimacy needs than realizing your highest potential and self-actualization. That is normal. This is the progression of needs. You are primarily a physical, biological being, and intimacy is one of the most important needs that you have. But don't get stuck at the level of thinking about it. Get your intimacy needs met. You don't want to get stuck there. Life is too brilliant. It's too dynamic. You have too much potential for you to waste your life thinking about intimacy. You don't want to be an old guy who still has intimacy at the forefront of their brain. Get that life sorted so that you can put it behind you. Great. Already sorted that one out, figured it out, I'm good there. Let's move on to something else. Remember, intimacy is no big deal unless you're not having any.
Estás aquí porque te enviaron aquí. Te dijeron que vinieras aquí y tú obedeciste. Pero es como las cosas funcionan. De hecho, existe una sola constante, una universal que es la única verdad real. Causalidad. Acción, reacción, causa y efecto.
Todo empieza con una elección.
No, error. La elección es una ilusión creada entre los que tienen poder y los que no lo tienen. Miren allá a esa mujer. Por favor, tan solo véanla. Causando efectos a su alrededor tan... obvia, tan bourgeoisa y aburrida, demasiado. Esperen, observen. Acabo de enviarle un postre. Un postre muy especial. Tan simple al principio. Cada línea del programa crea un nuevo efecto. Es como poesía. Primero, un calor que sonroja, su corazón bombea. ¿Puedes verlo, Neo? ¿Sí? Ella no entiende por qué. ¿Será el vino? No. Entonces, ¿qué es? ¿Cuál es la razón? Pronto ya no importa. Pronto los porqués y la razón desaparecen. Y todo lo que importa es el sentimiento en sí. Esta es la naturaleza del universo. Luchamos contra ella, luchamos para negarla, pero es tan solo pretensión, es mentira.
Bajo nuestra equilibrada apariencia, la verdad es que estamos completamente... fuera de control. Causalidad. Nadie escapa a eso. Seremos siempre esclavos de ella. La única esperanza de paz es entenderla. Entender el porqué. El porqué es lo que nos separa de ellas. A ustedes, de mí. El porqué es la única fuente del poder. Y así vienen a mí, sin un porqué, sin poder. Otro eslabón de la cadena.